Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. I know for some of you right now, you're probably like, Brad, why are you here? Why are you preaching? And I did debate that yesterday when I was at the ICU unit. Should I preach? Should I not preach? And I just honestly looked at my mother-in-law, and I just realized that if I was to not preach, she'd probably come up out of that bed and say, you get your butt to church, and you tell those people about Jesus. That's just who she is and what she's about. And so I'm just here on her orders to preach the word. And I know that she's going to love today's message. Honestly, she's been my biggest fan. So many of you are so kind with your words, but she is legitimately, I'm just in awe. She sits down there on that front row, takes notes, even when I'm saying don't take notes. You know, when I say, hey, write this down, she's always just writing stuff down. And then she'll come back during the week. She'll come back to me and she'll bring out the notes and she'll go, now, when you said this, could you clarify this for me? Because I was been thinking about this and I've been praying about this. I'm like, what? What do you have to learn from me? And then she would say things like this. So I was listening to your message again on YouTube. You were there. I can't even get to the people who miss a Sunday to listen to it on YouTube. You're listening to it twice. Anyway, so if you got a Bible, let's go to John chapter 13. That's where we're going to be today, John chapter 13. If you do not have a copy of the scriptures, we have free Bibles. They're in the lobby. We got a Lord's Prayer guide for you, help you start your time with Jesus. If you want to download a good app, I would encourage you to download YouVersion. A lot of people are on that app, and on there, I'm in the New Living Translation, which is the NLT. And we are in a series right now called Formed in Christ. What does it mean to be formed into the image of Jesus? And what does it look like for that? Our word for the year is consecration. And consecration means this: to be set apart, dedicated, and fully devoted to God. So what does it look like to be formed into the image of Christ? It is simply about giving yourself fully and completely to Him. And so during this series, we've been looking at these eight character traits that shape us into the image of Jesus. So if you want to know what Jesus is like, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks to us about these character traits that form us into the image of Jesus. Let's just say the scripture together. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love for everyone. So these are the character traits that Peter gives to us in this letter that he wrote to the church. So we thought during the series it'd be great for us to look at the life of Peter and see how he lived these things out. So if you would stand, we're going to read the scriptures together. This story is from John chapter 13. If you're new to the scriptures, John was one of the disciples of Jesus, and he just wrote down some of the stories and the accounts so we would know who Jesus was. And this is right before Jesus is arrested, hours before he'll go to the cross. And it's the Last Supper, the last meal that he is going to eat with his disciples. And then he does the strangest thing. Some of you are very familiar with this story. He begins to wash the disciples' feet, which is very, it sounds odd to us, but in that period of time, you would come into somebody's house and your feet were dirty because there's dirt roads everywhere. And so a servant would wash the feet. And so he's making his way around. And then we go to verse 4, chapter 13, John 13, verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, that's Jesus, poured water into a basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was around him. When Jesus came to Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter says, you ain't ever going to wash my feet. Ain't no way. And Jesus said this, well, unless I wash you, you're not going to belong to me. And the moment that Peter hears that, he's like, oh, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. He's all in that moment. So today I want to talk to you about godliness. And I know when we look at this story of washing the disciples' feet, what does this have to do with godliness? And I'll explain that as we open up the word together. Let's pray, though, as we prepare to hear from the scriptures. Father, thank you for this holy moment to be here. And we ask your spirit to come. And God, you have a word for all of us, every one of us, something you're wanting to speak. Church, let's just pray for the people that are around you. You know the person maybe next to you, maybe you don't. Would you just pray for them for a moment? Maybe the person in front of you, maybe somebody that you met during the greeting time, somebody said hi to and you got to know for the very first time, and think of their name right now. Pray for that person. And then just pray for your own soul. Man, God, would you speak to me? Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can grab a seat. So what does it mean to be a godly person? Like, how do I know if I am, being godly? You heard AJ talk about the checklist. That's how it was for me growing up. Maybe for you, that's how it was. It was to be a godly person was all about behavior. You know, you got to be this, you got to be that, don't do this, don't do that. It was all about rules. When I was growing up, you couldn't go to movies if you were a Christian, because that's where the heathens went. In fact, I'm not a Star Wars fan to this day, because I couldn't go see Star Wars. And I had no idea what was going on in that movie. What's crazy is we couldn't go to the movie, but we could get the collector's cups from Burger King. I didn't understand that. I had an R2-D2 cup, but couldn't go see him. And I remember I'd go to the school, and everybody had seen the movie, and I hadn't seen the movie. So I'd pick up little pieces from the movie, and then I would just fake it like I knew the movie. I'm like, oh, man, you know when he says, Luke, I am your father. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I had no clue what was going on. So I couldn't go to movies. And then there was this one, no dancing. The only place they're dancing, in hell. I blame my lack of coordination on my childhood. If you've ever seen me at a wedding, you know I'm a hot mess. I'm a great wedding dancer, but you better make some space, because I have legitimately been known to hit people. I mean, there's just a lot of me on the dance floor, and you don't know where it's going. But then there were the big two, no drinking, and no smoking. Two things my uncles did. My uncles would show up, and I'll never forget, my Uncle Alan rolled into town one time, and he loved his Coors beer. You know, remember that ad? You know, back in the day, they had this ad, Rocky Mountain Spring Water. Oh. And I remember walking into the kitchen, I was like 8 years old, walked into the kitchen, and there sitting on the countertop was Uncle Alan's Coors beer. And no one else. This is my moment. And I saw how happy it made my Uncle Alan. I thought, well, wonder what that's like. I took that can and picked it up off the counter, brought it up to my lips, and I got a whiff of that, and I was like, whoa, what is that? And I go, and I took this sip, and the moment I took this sip, I was like, whoa, what is that? This awful, distasteful feeling. I couldn't get to the sink fast enough to spit it out. I felt like God in that moment, like, changed the taste of beer for me and was like, that is the cup of suffering, my friend. And then there was my Uncle Lou. He was a chain smoker. Marlboro. He was a Marlboro man. And he had this thing where he would hold it like he'd just kind of lean, and he'd have it right here between his fingers. And he'd just kind of give advice this way, in like a New York accent. And he wasn't even from New York. Like, you know, hey, Brad, you know, how you doing with the ladies? I'm like, I don't know, Uncle Alan. I mean, I don't know, Uncle Lou. I'm like 8 years old. Well, let me give you a few tips. And then he would pause, and then he would tap that cigarette into the ashtray. He's smoking in the house. In the house. I'm like, man, I know my uncles are going to hell. They're going to look cool doing it, though. But they're going to hell. So what does it mean to be a godly person? The longer that I have followed Jesus, I've come to understand this. Godliness is not about rules. Godliness is not about rules. It's about Christ ruling in me. Can you say that with me, all of us, so we can be some rule breakers? I know some of you are rule followers, but let's be some rule breakers right now to say this with me. Godliness isn't about rules. It's about Christ ruling in me. When we try to follow a set of rules, we always fall short. We never measure up. We're always defeated, and we live constantly with shame and guilt and condemnation. So it's not about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you. And that's what we see here in John chapter 13. Normally, when we look at this passage of scripture, we look at through the lens of serving others. But what I want you to see is the deeper meaning here. And what Jesus, the big picture that he's trying to get us to see here in this picture, and what he's wanting to do and what he's demonstrating. So he comes to Peter, and he wants to wash Peter's feet. And Peter, of course, pushes back in this moment. And I want you to listen to Jesus' response in verse 7. You don't understand now what I'm doing, and say this with me, but someday you will. So Peter thought this was just about washing his feet. We think it's just about, you know, serving others. And yes, it is about washing feet, and yes, it is about serving others, but there's so much more that Jesus is conveying in this moment, because what he's giving a picture of, and what he's pointing towards, is what is getting ready to happen. The cross, and that the blood of Christ, like the water that washed the dirt from the feet, it would be the blood of Christ that would cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. Can somebody say amen to that? Like, this is who Jesus is. And so what happens is in John 1:7, John said this. So there's another letter that John wrote, and he said this: the blood of Jesus, his son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. Now, it doesn't say cleanses us from some sin. Doesn't cleanse us from that sin, but not that sin. It cleanses us from all sin. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. But what happens is, for all of us, we walk through life like Peter with feet that are dirty from our sinful choices and decisions. And those sinful choices and decisions and actions, they leave a mess and a trail everywhere we go. It's like when you let your dog in after it has rained and you forget to wipe him off, and he comes in and tracks that mud where? All over the carpet. And in that moment, you're like, no, 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 no. And what does the dog do in that moment? Do they understand? No, 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 no. They think, oh, hey, we're playing. Oh, okay, all right. Oh, can't get me. Oh, I'm over here. You're like, no, 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 stop. No, no, no. Hey, you can't get me. And meanwhile, it's tracking everywhere in the house. And this is what sin is like in our lives. You think you're having fun. You think you're having a good time. And the Lord is telling you, no, stop, stop. And then you look behind you and you see the mess it leaves. Pain, betrayal, abuse, loss. So Jesus, here washing the disciples' feet, is just simply demonstrating to us why he came. He came to do what we could not do for ourselves, to wash us clean. Come on, tell somebody next to you, you can't do it and I can't do it. You can't do it and I can't do it. No, only Jesus can do that. If you believe that, would you just say amen? Amen. Would the church say amen? Amen. Listen, there are people here sitting amongst you right now who are dealing with guilt and shame and condemnation, and they're just wondering. Yeah, Brad, I hear what you're saying and this cute little dog joke you did there. But you don't know what I did, and I don't know how God could ever forgive that. Can God forgive that? Church, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you're not saying amen just for yourself and for me. You're saying that for the person sitting next to you. You're helping them to believe in this moment that forgiveness is possible. So let's go back to the story. And in verse 8, Peter's like, nope, you're never, ever going to wash my feet. So Peter kind of pushes back in this moment. Why is he doing this? It's because he feels unworthy, like so many of us do. Like Peter, we feel unworthy of Christ's forgiveness, of his grace, and of his love. And you're like, Brad, look at my dirty feet. Look at the mess that I have left in my life. Look at how bad these things are right now. Look at the people I've hurt, all the trail of things that I've left. Why would God ever forgive me? And what do we try to do? Instead of going to Jesus, we try to fix it ourselves. How's that working for you? We try to fix it ourselves, and what happens? It just gets worse. You just continue to track dirt throughout your life. So John, who wrote this gospel, he also wrote a letter and a book called Revelation, the end of the Bible. He says this in Revelation 7:14, and he says, they have washed their robes. He's talking about a picture of heaven here. He sees this image of heaven. He says, they've washed their robes. In other words, they've washed their sin in the blood of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb of God?
Jesus.
Come on, church, this ain't a trick question. Who's the Lamb of God?
Jesus.
This is an all skate today, okay? I need your help. And he did what? So they washed their sin in the blood of Jesus, and he made them white. Listen, normally at the end of the service, I tell you, turn to somebody and tell them you're forgiven and you're free. Can we just do that right now? Turn to somebody and tell them you are forgiven and you are free. You are forgiven and you are free. Now turn back and say, because of Jesus, I'm forgiven and I'm free. I'm forgiven and I am free. We come to Jesus in our mess, and he's the one who cleans us up. This is what baptism is all about. Baptism is not just a symbol. Like something supernatural happens when you go under that water and you come back up. It's not repent, it's not be baptized, it's repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. It's both, because something supernatural happens in baptism. This is what Paul tells us about in the book of Romans that he wrote. He wrote this letter, and he basically said this. In baptism, we die to ourselves. We go under the water, and we're buried with Christ. And then he says, then we are raised out of that water into new life. And what does that mean? We do not serve the God of second chances. God is not going to give you a second chance. He's going to give you a new life. A new life. The old is gone, the new has come. Like, that's worth celebrating, that's worth worshiping, that's worth praising God for. You aren't getting a second chance, church. You've been given a whole new life in Christ. Can you just praise him for a moment for that? Like, you have been given a new life. The guy, the lady who did all those things ain't alive anymore. Paul, who wrote those things, was a murderer. He killed Christians. You think he dealt with some guilt and some shame and some condemnation? I believe that he did. And I believe, though, in his letters, he's like, no. That's not me anymore. In fact, his name got changed from Saul to Paul. The old is gone and the new has come. So Peter, in this moment, not only does he feel unworthy, but what's fascinating here, he's also trying to dictate the terms of the relationship. He's like, no, you can do this, but you can't, no, you ain't, You ain't doing that. You don't get access to that. And no, I'm certainly not going to let you wash my feet. And can I tell you, I'm with Peter on this one. You ever been to a foot washing? Whew. Some of y'all like that? I've been to foot washings. I ain't into somebody washing my feet. That's just weird. I'm just like, no, you ain't washing my feet. Now, I remember in youth groups, they used to do this when I was younger. Anybody do foot washings in youth group? Anybody? A few of you didn't. A lot of you, praise God, a lot of you didn't have to, weren't dealt that blow in your life. I'm scarred over that whole thing. I didn't like anybody washing my feet, but you know, I'll be honest, I was all up for watching Janice Thompson's feet. She had some nice feet. I was like, I got this one, guys. What's up, Janice? This little piggy? You know, that never happened. That never happened. I know. The guys are like, that's hilarious. The ladies are like, that's creepy. So what happens when Laura's not here? The wheels are off. Yeah. Oh, so listen, we've all got stuff we're willing to share, like stuff you'll let people borrow. But then there's those things that you have, you know, that you say, no, you can't borrow this. This is off limits. Ain't nobody getting access to this. I've got two things, my Coors beer and my Marlboros. blame my uncles for that. That's not true. If you're new, that's not true. I'm just kidding on that. But my two are pretty simple. Number one, it's my truck. Most people at Core Church know this. Don't ever ask to use my truck. Don't ever ask to drive my truck. And don't bring a cup of coffee into my truck. Any open beverage is not welcome in my truck, even if it is legal. Don't ask me to help you move. Nothing goes. And I mean, you call me and say, no. The answer is no. I have no problem saying no. The other thing is my mason jar. I have a mason jar because that's reserved for my whiskey. a lot of liquor jokes today. That's what we got here. So no, it's reserved for my sweet tea. Like, cause when I'm out, you know, I'm mowing the lawn, you know, on a hot August day, and I want to come in and I grab that mason jar and I put the ice cubes in it and then I fill it up with that sweet tea. And nothing worse than when I come in, I can't find my mason jar, and I swear to you, this is true. I'll look over on the counter and Laura has put a succulent in it. Like, no, there's some things that are off limits. Let me ask you this. What's off limits to Jesus? What in your life is off limits? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a habit that you know is not good for you, but you continue in that habit. The Lord's asked you to stop, and you're just like, you know, that's just my one thing. Maybe it's a friend group. You got these friends, and you know when you're with them, you just make bad decisions. And God's saying, I just don't want you with those people anymore. And you're like, yeah, but these are my friends. I don't know, maybe it's somebody you're dating. You're like, listen, I know, but you kind of look past some things because you're like, if I don't, then, I mean, who else is gonna be there for me? Or maybe it's just simply you want control. You want control of your life and your decisions. I want to decide where I go. I want to decide who I'm going to become. I want to decide what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to give up control, because if I do that, then I'm not going to get to do this. So what in your life is off limits? Where are you saying no, like Peter did? I remember during my radio career, back before, if you're new, before I was a pastor, I did morning shows here in Tulsa. And I remember when I was working, doing a morning show, and I was the spokesperson for a club here in town, a very popular club at the time. And I would go out on Friday nights, and I would do these club remotes. And I was a believer. I was going to church. I loved the Lord, had a family, kids. But I would just go out and do these club remotes, and it was fun, you know, just telling people to come out, hang out, have fun, you know, and people are dancing, having a good time. And one particular time I was, on a Friday night, I was broadcasting, and I looked out over the dance floor, and I saw the bar over here to my left, and then I saw the stage where the band was playing, and everybody was just having the time of their life. And all of a sudden, it was like my eyes were opened. And it was like God said to me, Brad, what are you doing? Like you're these people, they're throwing their lives away. They're making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. They're coming here because their lives are broken and they think this is what's gonna fix it. Or they're just trying to numb themselves for a moment. And Brad, you're on the radio and you're inviting them to this. And I was like, whew, you're right. And in that moment, I had to decide who's in control, me or God. Might sound like a really easy decision to you. Maybe not. It wasn't easy for me because I made a lot of good extra money doing those broadcasts and being a spokesperson for this club in town. I also knew that I would need to go in and talk to my boss, and if I did and I said I wasn't going to do that anymore, I could lose my job over it because they were a big client and they spent a lot of money with the radio station. But I went home, I was talking to Laura about it, and I was just, I can't do this anymore. It's just not where I'm supposed to be. And so I went in on that Monday morning and met with my boss, and I told him exactly what I told you. Like, I didn't shade it, and I didn't try to pretend. I just flat out told him the exact story I told you. And he knew I was a believer, and he just kind of laughed, and he said, well, I don't think that's going to work, Brad. I'll talk to the owner, but if he says no, then we're going to have another conversation. And I knew what that meant. Either I was going to have to do the broadcast or quit the job. And I think a couple days went by, and he came back to me and said, hey, I talked to the owner of the club, Brad, and he said, it's okay. You don't have to do it anymore. Wow. Then a few weeks later, the owner of the club came in to the radio station, and I saw him, and I went up to him, and I said, hey, man, I'm really sorry that I can't do it. He goes, no. He said, Brad, come here. We went off in one of the studios, and he said, I was raised in the church, and I've just been in rebellion against God, and I've not been following Jesus, and God's been talking to me about selling the club, and I don't want to because I make a lot of money, but when you took that stand, I said, I gotta sell the club, and he sold the club to a church. Come on, somebody, that is incredible. Your life is witnessing to everyone around you. Your decisions, your choices, your actions. Where are you leading people? Are you leading them to hell or are you leading them to heaven? Are you leading them to life in Christ? Let's go back to the story. Verse 8. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, what does he say? You won't belong to me. Unless I wash you, you're not going to belong to me. And Peter says, Peter's like, oh, I'm not going to belong to you? Oh, okay, man. Then, listen, you got to wash my hands, you got to wash my head, wash behind my ears, wash my tummy. I mean, just wash it all. He's like, wash everything, not just my feet. Like, this was Peter's all-in moment where he recognizes, man, if that's what it takes, man, wash all of me. My question to you, those of you who are followers of Jesus and those of you who have been baptized, have you gone all in with Jesus? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? In other words, has Jesus washed you completely, or are you holding back in some areas of your life? Or have you given everything to him? Have you fully consecrated your life to him? Can you say with all honesty and integrity, man, my life is set apart. I don't participate in this is who I am. My life is different. I look different than everyone else around me. My life might even look a little crazy. I am set apart. I am dedicated to the Lord. What are you dedicated to? Are you dedicated to your hobby? Are you dedicated to a weekend activity? Are you dedicated to your job? Are you dedicated to what are you dedicated to that takes the place of Jesus in your life? He's saying, well, you want to go all in. Are you fully devoted to him? Is there anything you love more than Jesus? Because there can't be. There can't be another person. There can't be another thing. There can't be a career. It can't be money. It can only be Christ. He's got to be all. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What is that? It's just a deeper work of grace that the Holy Spirit does in us. It's where you recognize in your life, oh my goodness, yes, he's Savior. I've given my life to Jesus and I've been baptized, but he's not Lord yet. He's not Lord of all. And maybe for you today, you're like, man, Jesus is talking to you and he's saying, I don't want to be just Savior, but I want to be Savior and Lord. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.